Backstage Pass is made possible by Mauer Productions On Stage, supporting community theater in central New Jersey.
Hello, and welcome to Backstage Pass, central New Jersey's community theater podcast. I'm Dan Mauer, and I'll be moderating this session where we'll be speaking with members of the cast and crew of the hilarious musical comedy Avenue Q, which will be presented by Mauer Productions On Stage at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College. Avenue Q, winner of the 2004 Tony Award for Best Musical, provides a look at real life in New York City as told by a cast of people and puppets through a hysterically funny adult-oriented book and score. In addition to a cast of 10 actors, the MPO production team will custom build 15 puppets for this production based on designer Rick Lyon's original Broadway characters. Through raucous adult-oriented numbers like "The Internet is for Porn," "It Sucks to Be Me," and "I'm Not Wearing Any Underwear," Avenue Q tells the story of Princeton, a bright-eyed college grad who moves to New York City with big dreams and a tiny bank account. The only apartment he can afford is way out on Avenue Q, where everyone's looking for the same thing he is: a decent job, a stable relationship, and a purpose. With me today to talk about this production is director and puppet master John Mauer, music director Lori Gouger, and actors Kyrus Westcott, who plays Nikki, Mark Applegate, who plays Rod, Kyla Mostello Donnelly, who plays Kate Monster, and Zach Maswat, who plays Princeton. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Hi. Hi.
Let the record show that I am also a puppet master.
Okay.
Okay.
Good to know.
Just want to throw that out there.
John, let's start with you. This is an exciting, award-winning show with a lot of fun aspects to it. But was there one thing that specifically said to you, I really need to do Avenue Q?
Because it's a damn funny show is what it is. That's why. I mean, when I first saw the show, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with the music, the characters, the style, the fact that it played around with my childhood memories of watching PBS and children's television. I had to do it from the moment I saw it. In fact, we started prepping for this back in 2005 when I saw the show, and here it is 2013, and we're actually going to do it.
And how were you prepping back in 2005?
Back in 2005, when we knew that we wanted to do this show, we were going to do it no matter what, we had to gear up in the whole idea of, well, how do you get these puppets? At that point, there was no idea whether or not you'd be able to rent them or buy them from someone else. So we had to learn how to make them. We had to learn how to work with them. And we had to learn how to do rehearsals with them and teach other actors how to do puppetry. At that time, back in 2005 and 6, we did two children's shows based on the Winnie the Pooh character. Normally, these shows are done with people in costume. We decided to do them with puppets, similar to the Avenue Q style. And in that point, we learned. I already had some puppetry knowledge by that point, but not making puppets. There's a difference between working with puppets and actually knowing how to build them. So in that time, we learned how to make the puppets, we learned how to work them, we put together our rehearsal process for how you teach actors who have never done puppetry, and then how you do the rehearsal process with the puppets.
Hmm. I've often thought Eeyore probably watches a lot of porn.
Yes.
Eeyore.
And that's
why he's always so tired and out of breath.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the podcast just started. We're already going there. That's great. That's a great start.
And that was Lori Gouger, our music director. So Lori, I actually had a question for you, which was, how do you approach, or how is it different, working with?
Sorry, that's my stomach going off.
Working with actors musically in a show where they have to do not only their own voice but character voices, they're shifting character voices.
I think it's harder for them than it is for me, because my process is very similar, to teach them the pitches and hope that they're retaining as much of it as possible, but it just adds another layer of multitasking for them. And I am beyond impressed with the talent of everyone in this cast, that not only are they learning music, which is deceptively simple, it's not simple. It's really, really challenging music for this show. Learning their parts, it's a small cast, so they have to be independent on harmonies. They have to be operating a puppet, which for many of them is a brand new skill that they've never done before. And then you add the layer of a character voice. So it's a lot for them to manage all at one time.
And dancing.
And dancing.
Yes, puppets with no legs with no legs. To dance.
Right.
So, at least in this show.
So you mentioned that most of them haven't had puppet experience. Does any of the actors here today in our podcast have any puppeteering experience before they came to
the show? Yeah, I do, but not a full show of this type of puppet. So I've done a full show with a sock puppet. And I've done ventriloquist puppets for sections of shows. But actually physically holding a puppet for an hour and a half to 2 hours is a different type of challenge.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious to know, as a lot of you are coming to this as first-time puppeteers, what was it that you learned about working with puppets that's really surprised you?
My arm is really tired. I really thought growing up in high school, my right arm would be right there, but really, my right arm is killing me by the end of the show, but it's all worth it, and my right arm is a lot bigger than my left.
I think puppeting. At the audition, I learned there's a term called clamping, and you should not clamp. So normally,
unless you're trying to get those high notes, that's clenching.
Physically, visually clenching, but should never visually clamp.
One of my things that I've been trying to do is, you said tell it to the foam. Yeah. And you're so used to putting the emotion on your face and to looking and turning with your body, you have to do everything to that puppet. And the emotion's going to come out of that. And that's difficult.
What's really funny is that even though it's hard doing the puppetry yourself, it's actually really hard for the people that don't have puppets in the show as well, because they have to hold a conversation with the puppets and they end up looking at the actor as opposed to the puppet. So it's funny because you just have to move the puppet in front of your face and be like, no, look at this, not me.
Are you suggesting they have puppet envy?
I think they do have puppet envy, and it happened, especially like a long time ago when I did puppetry of the penis.
But the thing is, though, that, yeah, that when we first started, people were looking at the actors, not at the puppets, and now sometimes they're conversing even when we're off rehearsal. With the puppet themselves.
When we're giving them notes, the puppet's going, okay.
So it sounds like you're having a lot of fun on this production.
Not at all. This is
serious.
Way too much.
But you mentioned talking about creating characters and creating character voices. Do you guys, as actors, model your characters after real people or film actors or theater actors? Where do you get the inspiration to create a character? Or is it all on the page?
I think the page lends it to some characters. I can speak to Kate. Kate is a younger version of me, so she's just a little higher and a little more innocent and a little more pure than the real me, who's a lot lower and a lot less pure. So that's the character component for me. But
I think luckily my speaking voice sounds like a puppet.
You know, it's funny, I was going to say that your speaking and your singing voice seems to be the closest. Zach and Princeton seem to be very close.
It
should be what your voice can do. Like, if you can't do Elvis Presley, you don't do Elvis Presley.
Right. But at least for the two of you, there needs, in order to understand the joke, there needs to be some resemblance or reference to the characters that you're spoofing from the show that is not affiliated with this show at all.
Can we
that
say
shall
their
names? Not
be
Are we
named. Allowed to say? Are we going to get sued?
I don't know. That's why I'm looking.
You know what? It's not my podcast. Sesame Street.
Ha!
I'm not going to get sued.
We could say
our
characters...
Who has absolutely nothing to do with this production.
And the Jim Henson Company.
Ert and Bernie.
Yes.
We're Ert and Bernie.
Ert and Bernie, yeah. It's what's funny about the characters of Nikki and Rod is that they're modeled after Bert and Ernie on that show, Sesame Street. And there was always a question as to whether they were... if they had feelings for each other, because, you know, they are roommates and, you know,
we
and
do.
All that. I don't know, Rod.
No, I really have lots of feeling for you, Nikki.
Well, don't tell the people that, because they don't know that yet.
Ow.
Buddy. Anyway, so I, so it's like they kind of play up that aspect of it, and it's a lot of fun, especially if you have kids and you watch Sesame Street. You can come here without your kids, preferably. Come here, and then you'll get a lot of the jokes.
Yes,
adults only. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah.
Yes.
And to that point, I think with any puppetry, there's an element that's geared toward adults that an adult can enjoy. You know, the Muppets or things like that, because there's that little level that the adults understand that the kids don't. with this show, it's all that level that the kids shouldn't understand.
So leave them home.
So leave them home. And so it brings all those things out that are hinted at in other types of puppetry. Mm-hmm. Shows.
Though if you do have kids and you want them to learn some things, bring them to the show. I mean,
it's very educational.
It's very educational.
Mm. Yes, it's full on puppet sex in this one.
I was about to ask what you thought was the most surprising.
There's something really funny about
the audience.
There's something really funny
show.
About John Maurer saying full on puppet sex. I think that's hilarious. That's awesome.
That was part of my audition.
Not heard that before.
He's holding a puppet right now.
Where is the lotion?
Put the lotion in the basket.
We went there. Yikes. Come see Avenue Q. It's like Silence of the Lambs. Where do we go from here?
The thing is, in this show, it deals with real situations, real people, and it's not what a kid's show would consider to be someone trying to make their way in the world. It's what a real person would go through with the real language, the real situation. So, yes, there is drinking, there is cursing, and there is fornication.
Say full-on puppet sex again.
Full-on puppet sex.
No, don't whisper. That's creepy. Oh. That's
I'm sorry. It's full-on puppet sex
there. There we go. Like a radio announcer. Exactly. Yeah. That much fun.
But you know what the thing that I loved about this show when I saw it originally is, yes, it is raunchy, and you will be laughing the whole time, mm-hmm. but it's not mean-spirited. Right. It's not nasty. Mm-hmm. And it does really make some good, insightful points about human nature and political correctness. It has something to say, and it has heart, mm-hmm. but then it also has full-on puppet sex.
I always say
triple
that.
X puppet sex.
The show is too real. It's so real yes. that you're ashamed that you live in this world. Because it's right. that inappropriate.
But it's like Laurie said, I mean, there is a message behind it, and it is there is a good, you know, moral to the entire story.
That maybe if you can talk about some of these things that are taboo and politically incorrect, mm-hmm. then that opens up a dialogue to actually not being racist, mm-hmm. you know, or not judging people because you can talk about it. So I have let my kids... my older daughter, see and hear some of it, and it has actually opened some really good dialogue. Not my 9-year-old.
And maybe for some of you that are having difficulty having those types of conversations with your much older children,
yes.
this might be the avenue, Avenue Q.
Oh, I see what
you're open up that conversation.
Or you can just come for the puppet sex.
Or you can come for the puppet sex.
And they will think you are the coolest parent.
Well, thank you very much for joining me. But before we leave, John, can you tell us a little bit about what we're doing next year?
Yes, next year we will be doing something completely different. Because in the fall, for 3 weekends, in November, we're going to be doing Spamalot.
What?
Lovingly ripped off from Monty Python. Then later on in the season, in fact, I believe it is the final show in the spring of 2014, we will be doing Shrek the Musical.
What? Yes. With a giant dragon puppet.
Yes. Woo. Yes. We have some foam left over. We're going to go for it.
Yep. We're just going to tape all of these puppets together and spray paint them purple.
Okay, purple. We'll go for that.
That's great. It sounds like an exciting season next year.
So genuine.
That was... I know. I'm working on it. I'm in therapy for it. Performances of Avenue Q will be held at the Kelsey Theater on the West Windsor campus of Mercer County Community College and will begin on March 1st and run through March 10th. Tickets are $18 with discounts for seniors and students. For more information or to order tickets, go online to www.kelsey@mcc.org or call 609-570-3333. I want to thank my guests, John Maurer, Laurie Gouger, Kyrus Westcott,
yep.
Mark Applegate.
You're welcome.
Kyla Mostello Donnelly and Zach Maswat for speaking with me today. For Backstage Pass, I'm Dan Maurer. Thank you very much for listening.
Yay!
Goodbye.